stupid.
Yeah.
Well, the whole movie was stupid.
Yes, yeah, No, okay, all the Andy movies were stupid.
It's supposed to be campy on
purpose. But they were fun.
Yes. Right.
My and only problem with why. Andy 4 was, yeah, it was a sci-fi ending, and it just didn't seem right, yeah. you know? Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah. So
I would have rather it be actual Aztec gods instead of aliens.
You know, that would make sense.
That would have worked out a lot better. It would have been more in line with the rest of the Andy movies.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah,
wholeheartedly agreed.
But yeah, you know, all the special effects, were cheesy. Now, admittedly, Raiders of the Lost Ark, for I guess, isn't that cheesy for its time.
Hey, right,
you can't. Well, they were supposed to be campy, though.
But still,
camp feel to them.
It's like a pulp novel brought to life on the screen.
And that's exactly what the Indiana Jones books were.
Yeah,
they were pulp books.
If the movie is stupid, but it was trying to be like campy and stupid, yes. I don't begrudge them that.
Nope. Yeah, you can't. I mean,
it was a popular movie.
Yeah,
and that's what they should be.
Now you can't judge a movie for being deliberately bad and fun. You know,
yeah. You never watch a Godzilla flick.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you have to go into Godzilla knowing what you're getting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, you're just gonna watch monsters punch each other.
Man,
and it's awesome.
And watch all the indie movies,
right?
You know,
I've got a good idea. I do too.
Oh, but so apparently, I think it was Adam a couple weeks ago talking about like Gamora, and you were there, yeah. Gamora, Rodan, and Mothra are all supposed to be in Godzilla 2.
Maybe,
my God.
No, I'm pretty sure it's after the buzz that's been around these three characters or creatures being in the movie. I don't think there's any way they can get away with doing it without those.
Those
three
are easily top five most iconic Godzilla monsters. Not kind of
easily,
Godzilla
easily.
You got King Ghidorah.
Mechagodzilla, I'll throw in there.
Mechagodzilla would be Godzilla Raw, WrestleMania, Godzilla.
James Gunn directed Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
One of the monsters from Sliver was in the collectors.
The slugs.
I didn't notice it. I saw a picture of it.
It's a James Gunn movie, so a lot of people from James Gunn movies.
I really like Sliver as far as talking about cheesy movies.
Yeah.
Oh, we started?
Yeah, I started the Indiana Zone. Sorry.
Oh,
okay. That just seemed like a really good conversation.
I figured he did start, which is why I got into Guardians.
Well, real quick, let's do the introductions, and let's jump into Guardians.
This is episode 47 of Geeks of the Square Table. I'm your host, Lawrence of America, and with me today I have...
Raphael!
I am Gomer.
Donatello.
Yes.
I'll be Stevie.
You have to be Splinter.
You're going to be Donatello. You got to do a Corey Feldman impersonation.
I'll be Leonardo.
That's the best answer to that comment. Best reply to that comment.
Oh God!
But what are we talking about today, guys?
Well, first let's talk about the movie of the hour.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
The big nerd event going on right now. Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy. Steve's going to have to jump out from time to time because he still hasn't seen it.
Man, what a good
Steve.
I've seen it twice already.
I
saw it twice by accident.
Wife.
I went to go see it Thursday when it came out with my sister. We always go see the new Marvel movies together. And then I went with my friends on Saturday. They're like, hey, let's go see Guardians. Well, I'm like, okay.
Friday was like, I'm going to go see this movie before I go to work. So I got like to the earliest showing possible.
Nice. Friday.
Nice.
But it was so good.
It was a great movie. I loved it. Probably the best action comedy I've ever seen.
The soundtrack especially has been...
Dude.
I have been like, Come Get Your Love has been stuck in my head for days.
There's like a YouTube channel now that has all of them on there. And yeah, it's like my favorite. Or a YouTube video. It's like the whole mixtape.
Oh, I have to
see that. I'm trying to get Mark to download it from iTunes, the entire soundtrack.
So dude, he's got most of those on his iPod already.
Oh, sure.
It'll do for these songs what Bohemian Rhapsody and Wayne's World did for Queen.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. I wouldn't be surprised if they're up on iTunes now.
Yeah.
But from the very first joke in Guardians where the girl in the Milano, another 80s reference, the name of the damn ship, is wearing his shirt
he left Earth in the late 80s,
yes.
So that's his culture.
But the ship's named Milano after Alyssa Milano.
Yeah.
The girl who Star-Lord has in the ship is wearing the shirt from camp that he was wearing as a little boy. From the very first joke to the very last joke, the after credit scene.
Well,
yes, laugh riot throughout the whole thing.
The second Chris Pratt jumps out and he's like his first time on screen, they establish the tone perfectly because he puts on the Walkman, he turns on come get your love. Yes. And he's dancing while he's exploring this lost
doing tomb. The Indiana Jones thing, bringing it back to the beginning. That's pretty much what he was doing, you know, raiding the crypt or whatever. Yeah.
I mean, he's
kicking
like
the alien.
Yeah, he's kicking the little alien rats. He's using one as a microphone, yes. And he's like twirling around.
Yeah, man.
It was the perfect way to establish what this movie was, which was fun.
Yeah.
Just fun. It's the best way I
can
describe it.
That's the best word for it. Just a fun time watching a film. Yes.
Definitely. This is it's not going to be a Oscar-winning movie
Certainly not. But
the story
wasn't trying.
You enjoy it, you laugh, and unlike a lot of comedies, you don't feel stupider. For having laughed at it.
Well, that reminds me that like one of the trailers for the movie came out was like Dumber and Dumber 2.
I felt stupid watching the trailer.
I think we as a society have outgrown those types of movies.
I like to think so, but sadly enough, I don't think that's the case.
Back to Guardians, though.
Yeah. This is totally different than any of the other Marvel movies that came before it. Those movies took themselves a whole lot more seriously than this did. Not saying that Guardians didn't take itself serious.
Sure, but like also, I would say one of the big strengths of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is that these movies are not like each other.
It's diverse.
The Cap 1 was an Indiana Jones-esque, just wartime thriller.
Yeah.
Cap 2 was a political thriller. Iron Man is like a character piece on Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Thor is like Shakespearean intrigue drama.
Yeah, but exactly. It's the diversity of the movies.
I would dare say that you could watch this movie without having watched any of the other previous Marvel movies.
Definitely could.
It stands on its own legs.
It's a very good standalone movie, and it's a good jumping on point.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of world building for the MCU because they finally get Thanos and all of his badass glory.
What's number one Marvel movie besides Avengers could you not just jump into and go watch? I mean, Thor, Iron Man.
Yeah, but you
Cap. But you could watch all those.
You can watch, but yeah. You know,
Ever since Avengers came out, you kind of had to be on board with the rest of them.
Yeah.
Well, Iron Man 3, yes, but Iron Man 3 is a direct sequel. I'm talking about the ones that started it. You know, we don't really have that until we have Guardians of the Galaxy after Avengers.
Because like Hulk, there's stuff that happens in Iron Man that's related to Hulk. Tony Stark shows up.
But I don't think you need those to enjoy Hulk.
No, but you don't. But it helps to know.
It would help Guardians too, but it's not a necessity.
Yeah.
This is a silly thing to be talking about. Let's just move on.
Yeah.
With any movie, anywhere, if I see a movie and I feel like I haven't seen something, no matter whether it's a sequel or not, if I feel I'm missing something having not seen another movie, that movie is inherently failing.
Okay.
That's why series like X-Files did so well. Because, yes, they built off each other, but in any episode you can watch...
And know the basic premise. It's two guys...
Two people, both...
Two FBI agents doing their
You'll get the premise, even if you didn't know it is.
Right, so you'll watch that, and you can follow one episode without having seen any others.
Yeah. It's very difficult to do that on TV nowadays.
Right.
Almost impossible.
That is what Marvel needs to do with their movies.
And they are. I think they're accomplishing that.
Most of the time.
Well, with the sequels. Yeah.
Iron Man 3, you probably wouldn't have made heads or tails of it if you hadn't seen Avengers. Other than that, though, that's probably the only major example I can think of.
But Iron Man 3 was a sequel, though.
But like Larry said, it was Captain America 2. You know, it's hard for him to enjoy Captain America 2 knowing that Captain America exists in the same universe as Iron Man and Thor. Because why did Thor and Iron Man come to help Captain when...
I think that's explained away in the story, though. Because of the pacing of them and S.H.I.E.L.D. going down.
We can come up with reasons if we have to.
Yeah, very definitely. Yeah, you can, but you really have to force yourself to ignore that fact.
That is me doing more of the work. The movie could have added in some lines of dialogue, so I'm not doing the work as to why isn't he calling Thor.
Yeah, but that was my main complaint.
Probably because I'm a comic book reader, I would have never thought of that if Larry hadn't brought it up. Just because I'm used to reading my Captain America book, Captain America dealing with stuff, knowing he could call Hulk or Iron Man to take care of it easily,
and
he doesn't do that.
The only other plot hole complaint I had with Captain America is... There's two points when Nick Fury could have ended the movie by pulling a trigger.
Yes.
And now Captain America could have done the same thing.
Yeah.
I at least can naturally believe Captain America wouldn't just zap somebody. But Nick Fury, come on.
Yeah.
But back to Guardians real quick, just like, I really want to say that the acting, I want to like gush on that for a minute.
Do it. Because there were, I don't think there was
a huge
any,
cast, but no real weak portrayals.
I don't, and there were, as far as the five members of the team, there was no solid standout either. They all got their own time.
Well, I might say Rocket stood out a little bit.
But Rocket stood out just because he was Rocket.
That character definitely was lent himself to a lot of the good jokes.
Yeah. Well, and it was a comedy movie.
But they weren't playing it off as a joke either.
Rocket
he was a character. He wasn't just there as like the wacky, crazy raccoon.
Exactly.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Definitely, Steve.
On the Guardians of the Galaxy, was it more based in the comic book, the characters themselves, not the storyline or anything like that, but did they more follow their actual comics?
Were right out of the latest.
Drax is almost nothing like it because he was like some. He has a really convoluted backstory. It felt like his wife and children were killed by Thanos, not Ronan.
Yes.
And he, like, some sort of scientific experiment. Here he's just some alien.
Right. Yeah. Well, what I'm getting at, though, is Rocket that way in the comics?
Yes.
If he is. Is Drax that way in the comics? They're more of their comic book characters. And I think that's why Marvel went out of the way to bring Guardians of the Galaxy to the film instead of picking more of a mainstream title.
I think the main reason Marvel brought Guardians of the Galaxy because it's a great way to bridge Earth and Thor and Thanos and all these universal galactic
things. We already
two Star Lord Peter Quill
knowing a little bit about working in the industry and knowing a little bit about
it was a way for us as an audience to get
they want the Infinity Gauntlet and stuff like that.
It was a good way for us as an audience to get the backstory in the Infinity Stones instead of gems now. A good way for us to understand what a big deal Thanos is, because we wouldn't really have gotten that. Because Cap, Iron Man have no idea who this guy
despite
is.
Despite Thanos Thor
could have done it with Thor, but apparently Thor's got enough of his own rogues gallery where they don't have time.
Despite Thanos being on screen for all of 3 minutes in the movie, he's still a huge part of the movie.
Oh, yeah,
it's amazing.
The Judge Roland is Empire
when he's just the Phantom.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's like boy. The only thing that's irking me, boy, is the fact that you alienated one.
You get from watching this movie that, yes, this guy could destroy the planet whenever he feels like it as soon as Ronan brings him his bomb.
But he's above that.
Yeah.
It's not really even that he's above
it. He's like, that's a pathetic little planet. I don't even need to bother with it.
Thanos came off to me as a real mercenary. He's not going to do anything unless he can get something out of
it. Oh, he's above being a mercenary.
No, but he sort of had that mercenary scope to him. Where he's not doing anything unless he gets something out of it.
Really,
it seemed more like he would deign to do something if it served his interest.
Exactly. Well, that's
really.
Same thing.
I got the whole Dr. Evil.
The way you describe it makes it sound like you have to pay him up. Like he does it for the money, which he does.
No, not for the money, but for his own personal gain. Yeah,
well,
but
he's above just using all these people as chess pieces.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's kind of.
He's the chess master. That's one reason Thanos makes such a good villain is his mental qualities are just as formidable as his physical qualities, and then his physical qualities are up there with Hulk, Thor, those arguably above.
Well, arguably, yes.
He's like the grand strategy.
Grand strategist, yep.
Originally, he was supposed to be a ripoff of Metron instead of Darkseid.
Yes.
Right.
That's right.
And so he's ultimately kind of a ripoff of both.
Yeah. But it works.
Yeah, and definitely... Now, if you've watched all the Marvel movies, you've heard, you've had all these, and now you're kind of building to the Stones, the others. You kind of get, that, there's all these other power gems and blah, blah, blah. If you didn't know, never heard the word Infinity Gauntlet or anything like that, you might be able to go back and go, Tezzeret.
Thor.
He already had one.
Exactly. Marvel really has been doing a good job of setting up the Infinity Gemstones, whatever the hell they're calling them, as an integral part of the universe without actually making them an integral part of the universe. Just having it off to the side, but say, no, you need to keep looking at that. It's an important part. And it is, you're right, it's sort of a hinge point for the whole series of films.
This is really, he's gotten that introduction of that character, even though in the background he wasn't integral to the part.
Ronan
could have done that, but we could have just, he was just put in there as to say, there's a hint of, unveiling this shadowy figure out in the universe.
Yeah.
Which they couldn't have done that with any of the Earth-based movies.
Well, there's always a puppet master. Yeah. Ultimately, and there's always a puppet master.
Marvel's done a good job of making that puppet master known, but not putting him in the forefront until it's time for him to be there.
And that's the
best. We know that time will come, but just whetting our appetites with him at the end of Avengers and now in Guardians, it's just a really good way to push the ultimate villain.
To universe build.
Right. And to universe build.
It's the best way. Teasing is... Get people to come to those movies as much as
they still have
great they are.
They still do have a whole phase before Thanos is actually going to be in the foreground.
In Avengers 3, right?
They have to do Avengers 2, and then they have to do the batch of movies after that.
Ant-Man followed by Guardians 2, and hopefully a Cap, another Cap.
Yeah, there's supposed to be another Cap. Yeah. And they may even be they got the other ones that they're not saying yet.
I've heard Eliza Dushku is rumored to be a She-Hulk, which makes no sense to me. Yeah, it makes no sense to me. But this is just a...
Well, and Katie Sackhoff has been teasing stuff.
For Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel.
Oh, I'd love for her to do that. You know what we're talking about, Katie Sackhoff?
Yeah.
She's great.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She's awesome. Is there anything we want to gripe about Guardians? Any little tidbits, any nitpicks
as comic fanboys?
I have a few.
My only complaint, honestly, is that Nathan Fillion's cameo wasn't what I was hoping it would
be. Nathan Fillion's cameo was, hi, I'm Nathan Fillion, hiding in the background for the most part, wasn't
it? No, he wasn't even the voice of that
thing.
He was the voice of that alien that Groot went... Yeah.
Oh,
really?
It was just a voice.
It was an actual, honest to God cameo, not like a.
The thing is that if he showed up as a character in Guardians, he might not be able to play somebody else in another Marvel movie because with Joss Whedon and James Gunn, those are two of the guys that tap him a lot.
Well, Kevin Feige, how do you pronounce that dude's name?
Feige.
Whatever.
Just say Kevin.
Yeah, the dude, the Marvel dude Kevin from the movies has said that just because Vin Diesel has been the voice of Groot doesn't mean he's not can't necessarily come back as Black Bolt.
Yeah,
that's true.
Which is great.
That would be perfect because he wouldn't even be using his voice.
He wouldn't speak.
Dude, and that's exactly where I went with it. It'd be so cool if he was the voice of Groot and starred Black Bolt, but didn't show up in the movie as Groot, but starred as Black Bolt the whole time.
They could totally be in the same movie at the same time. It'd be so perfect.
He could play both roles.
Yeah, it'd be so perfect. And the thing about it was, he would just be saying, I am Groot, for Groot. And presumably for Black Bolt, it would just be one scream at the end of the movie.
Yeah, the build-up to is like his big, earth-shattering scream.
Or Whisper, depending on which Black Bolt they're using.
Right. Well, like, him whispering is...
It's like two nuclear bombs, not five.
Right. Well, it's enough to, like... Depending on the portrayal, he can whisper a sweet nothing in your ear and turn you to goo.
Yeah. But then he can scream in Thanos' face, and Thanos is cool.
Yeah.
I think that just shows how badass Thanos is.
Thanos is a tough
marshmallow. Yeah. Gomer.
Any other gripes about the movie?
Nova Corps
is my biggest gripe from the film.
Get over
it. It's hard for me to...
They do not have time to establish new guys with superpowers.
I completely understand
but why
turn them into this big golden net of...
They were fucking cops, and they were doing something consequential until he just blasted through them with a... spoiler alert, Chief. Until he just blasted through
just,
them with, like...
It just seemed like the Nova Corps supposed to be these awesome badasses, even in the film, you know, the way they were talking about them.
And they're riot police.
If the Nova Corps could have solved the problem on their own, their Guardians don't have anything to do.
I think if they could have done at least a better job trying to stop
them... They did a formidable job. They shot down a bunch of jets. Held him off from, like, his end game for a good long time.
The kamikaze thing that Ronan was doing. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. It was actually a very good way to stall this ship. Because, story-wise, they needed that ship to take five minutes.
I understand it was a good way to stall the ship. It's just hard for me to understand why a police force has this technology built into their starships to make a giant golden web of inconsequence.
That's a blockade.
I understand.
Right.
You're just being
okay.
It seemed out of place.
Even though they were small ships, they were pushing it back.
But you get a dozen individual ships. They could easily set a trap for a pirate operation.
Maybe that's not their primary thing.
It's just the thing they needed to use then.
Yeah, no, I understand.
And it has a lot of practical purposes.
I kind of wish that if they weren't going to make the Nova Corps that they are, the badasses they are, that they just would have left them out.
Okay, the Nova Corps on their best day, we were talking about this the other day, Nova Corps on their best day are Green Lantern ripoffs.
I totally agreed. I wish they just would have left them out in the predominance that they were in I just wish they'd have just...
They
let
them
honestly
the
think
from
they're
Star
not
going to
do more with the Nova Corps.
No, I don't think they are, which is my point.
So you're going to say you're going to get an actress like Glenn Close to play Nova Prime.
She was in it for 5 minutes. She had three lines.
Prick.
And it was three lines.
It was you know how much that three lines cost them?
No, I completely agree, but I think that's another thing. Why have Glenn Close in this big starring role if they're only going to give her three lines?
They needed someone
not
with gravitas to be the boss of the Novas.
I'm thinking we will see a Nova movie.
These are petty, nitpicky
That's
complaints.
Exactly how I framed the question. Does anyone have any nitpick?
You're getting
gripes?
Really worked up
well,
over something you admit are petty and nitpicky.
That's what makes him a geek.
Thank you. What is the name of the podcast? That's why we bring up the
you give geeks a bad name. Just be reasonable about stuff.
I don't think that's unreasonable.
You can be passionate about something without being a damn fool about
it. How is that unreasonable? That the Nova Corps
but when he gets worked
ability
up, he becomes
part
Hulk. He's like a blue Hulk.
The
he
Nova Corps
blue
was
and all
ridiculous.
These
it wasn't
out.
Nova Corps. It was Guardians of the Galaxy. The movie's not about them. They can't be
so
the
So why
of
even
the
put them in there in such a predominant role if it's so lame?
They have an important part to play.
Because they need a police force in the movie, or else the Guardians of the Galaxy wouldn't be outlawed.
There was a police force up until the very moment they built their golden web of inconsequence.
The Golden Web of Inconsequence did what it was supposed to do.
Slow down
it
the
It would have worked
that
if he hadn't had a fucking
stopped.
Infinity Stone. And if the Golden Web of Inconsequence works, there's nothing for the Guardians to do at the end.
I know, and I understand, but if the
Guardians... Do you? It doesn't seem like you do.
When you say Golden Web of Inconsequence, it makes me think of some interstellar Depends.
It is the Golden Web of Incontinence. It was the Golden Web of Incontinence. any other gripes?
Golden Web of Incontinence.
Any other gripes, Larry?
Erroneous.
Do you have any beefs with the film?
You know, really, no. This is the first Marvel movie that has compelled me to read a comic book.
Nice. Wow. Very good. Heck yeah.
You know, and
that's
I
awesome.
Am.
Well, they're trying to push it. They have a Star-Lord book that just started.
I'm
they have Rockets going out. And
a
Guardians
fan
itself.
Of the capes and tights crowd. So.
Yeah. Well, Guardians is definitely not your run-of-the-mill capes and tights book.
They're not capes and tights at all. None of them ever wear a costume.
That's right.
They are.
I mean, there's still super
really
heroics going on. But
sort of, but you could argue they're not really superheroes, which is fine. That's not a knock. It's just an observation.
I think that's the whole point.
I wouldn't call any of them superheroes either, because if you look in their environments,
I mean, Star-Lord's the only one who wears a mask, and the mask is just so that he can breathe in space.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah. It's just a practicality, a tool of the trade.
I had a thing, like, there was a part where the ships were kamikazing, and their plan to stop these kamikaze ships was to point up at them and shoot them. And I guess it totally disintegrated the ships. It didn't just have rubble falling
all over.
At the
very least, small chunks are more manageable than giant chunks.
Of course. Well, there was also a part that, like, Nova Prime said, okay, we have to clear the city. And then 15 minutes later, the city streets are just still full of people.
Okay, let's evacuate New York. Do you think New York's going to be evacuated in 15 minutes?
I'm just saying. 15 minutes.
Well,
super,
if you look at the
super
city.
Culture with flying spaceships, I just figured they would have emptied the streets a little bit bigger. Again, if I had anything major to bitch about, I'd be bitching about it.
The city looked like a giant
nitpicks.
Star with water.
Yeah, it looked like all points.
It was the Nova.
I know, but
so were the ships.
They only have one direction to go unless they wanted to go into the water.
If I were to pick nits, as you say.
Yeah.
There was one scene in the trailer, and they edited it in a very clever way.
Yes.
Where he flipped off the camera, and it blotted it out, and it said obscene gestures.
Like, I didn't know how this machine worked.
Yeah. Right.
He never said that.
Did that? Well,
he said how this machine works. They didn't blur it.
Yeah, but they didn't blur it. They didn't do it. And I thought it would have been funnier.
It would have been kind of funny.
The trailer.
It would make sense in the movie too.
Speaking of the trailers, there was stuff in the trailers that didn't make it to the movie.
They didn't switch around Drax. Drax wasn't in the lineup because he was already in.
But there were just a few other things that I remember seeing in the trailer that I didn't see in the movie.
Yes.
And it makes me think that there's going to be a director's cut.
There's going to be a director's cut.
Gamora was sitting on a bed topless, I remember, in the trailer.
Yes.
James Gunn actually, that's the thing I'm going to give him credit for, is Gamora was not...
It is a James Gunn movie because people from other James Gunn movies are in there. There's a cameo by, Lloyd Kaufman?
Yes.
In The Collectors.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see a longer look Yeah, a slower walkthrough in the collector's hall.
No,
yeah.
That's too much.
Well, like, it's
there was and a the Kree one in there. It's scroll,
kind,
there
it's
was,
kind of cool. Yeah, but is there for you
Lloyd Kaufman in there. We could have put Toxie in there. That would have been
on the
awesome.
One hand. It's kind of cool that it's they're not beating you over the head with it. It's there for you to see, but like they're not gonna like.
Right,
hey,
right.
Look, it's the monster from Slither,
and it's an Easter egg on purpose. You have to look for it.
Right, right.
Yeah, but one day they beat you over the head with
thirty seconds of him walking.
Yeah.
Through there, I think, and other Easter eggs.
Yeah, Leica is in the collector's collection.
Yeah, I didn't see Nathan Fillion. I did not realize
wasn't,
that was
there
him.
Wasn't there to see. It was just his voice.
Right, I mean.
Silly.
Yeah. I didn't realize it the first time. Like, did I miss the cameo? Oh, that was him when I, like, went
in. Can I talk about that? Go ahead, David. Then I want to talk about the promotion.
Well, there was two things. There was one thing was there was, some people have been talking about a cocoon.
Yes.
In the collector's collection, which is Adam Warlock.
Yeah.
Could and be. then the voice.
Who else could it be?
Even if they don't. I'd be okay if they never use it.
I've already seen it online.
That's a cool Easter egg.
Still neato, yeah.
It's just the voice of Howard the Duck.
Yes.
With Seth Green.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was. That was Seth Green?
That was Seth Green.
Oh, incidentally, the post-credit scene, it's just fun for the fans. It doesn't really.
But
do
the
much
whole
design,
movie was supposed to be that.
Oh, right. I really hope there's a Howard the Duck movie.
I hope there is not.
I love the 80s Howard the Duck movie.
I love it too. Let's keep it where it belongs
Howard
in 1986.
I will gladly
Howard
see
the Duck shows
Howard
up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I could see Howard the Duck showing up in Guardians and being like, oh, you guys need some help? That would be neat.
If Howard the Duck shows up in the Guardians sequel, I want it to be a cameo.
Exactly.
I don't want him to like show up and be like, I've got this. You know, it's just like, he's like in the background, like drinking. Like,
I could definitely just see the duck in a bar, you know, drinking.
Yeah,
of course, with a woman.
Let's talk a little bit about the promotion behind the movie, because, like you said, Nathan Fillion was he's going to be a cameo in the movie, and really all he was a voice,
which is a cameo. Yeah.
Technically,
not the cameo like we're used to having in the Marvel universe,
but they were suggesting that it was that, and I think there were a lot of things like that, like you should go see it because this is going to happen, and this, you know, these little pushes into it that we didn't need. After seeing the movie, I didn't care if Nathan Fillion was in it.
You have to remember,
but
it's
let me
Guardians
go
of the Galaxy.
Yes.
Hang on, and a lot of people who had no clue who they were.
But no, I wasn't finished with my point.
All right.
They missed amazing opportunities with toys. This movie could have been the resurgence of the Star Wars-esque action figure sales. Kids would die to go get action figures for this.
I cannot describe how little I care about how much they push action figures.
Groot?
Okay,
a dancing Groot?
That's
a
thing. They
you
have
wouldn't
that.
Buy that?
That exists. I saw an advertisement for it.
But it's not promoted by Marvel.
No,
Marvel
they're doing,
didn't
it's
make
one of those
it.
Pop bobbleheads
I know,
that they're making.
But Marvel's not making any money off of that.
They are. Yes,
they are.
Except for the simple licensing deals they get for all their
and
other toys.
They're not spending any money.
They're
going
to get more money from licensing than anything else.
But they're showing up in games.
Yes.
The video games, like the
Infinity
game.
Yeah, that was already planned.
You talk about it.
I'm just saying, I think there was a missed opportunity.
I went to Walgreens last night to pick up some water.
Yes, go ahead.
And I happened to notice there was a Star-Lord and a Rocket Raccoon.
Action figure?
Figure, like 12-inch action figure.
Awesome.
And it was funny, Star-Lord, including Blaster.
Yeah.
Rocket Raccoon, including 6-inch blaster.
Bigger than Star-Lord, right?
Of course.
But I watch a lot of kids'
shows. Also, while I'm on there, I'm going to say, I bought some Walgreens brand water, and it was the nastiest
Take it back.
Ever.
Take it back.
No, I took it back immediately. Like, I was thirsty.
Yeah.
We were out of water at the house.
Was it a case you bought?
Yes.
Yes.
And it was
there's
their
a lot
nice
of
brand water,
cases.
And
I
took one
story.
Drink, and I was like, and it was horrible.
Yeah.
It tasted like chlorine and tap water with a dirt aftertaste.
That's exact. Amanda got a case. Amazing Amanda got a case from Academy, and it was the same way. And yeah, she took it right back, and they gave her a
can
new
I
one.
Tell you something about the toys issue? Because I
yes.
do, I collect action
go ahead,
things.
Go ahead.
The problem with it is they're not selling at all. Toys R Us is losing money on
yeah.
them. Most of the big stores are.
My kids love
well,
action figures.
I agree. There's tons of
it's
kids that
no
do.
It's not that no one buys them. It's
but
just
not
nearly
it's not as profitable as it used to be.
Yeah.
They've come out with the Star Wars Black Series and all that.
Yeah.
What's happening is more stores, besides Toys R Us, Walmart, and Target,
yeah.
are actually getting exclusives and everything.
Yeah.
And that's what it's moving to, the more of
yeah.
the adult collector instead of the child.
Which is very, very, very
yeah.
disappointing
because
Walgreens. We're clearly the for a child. But, you know, yeah, the thing, the reason those action figures, when they made them for kids, they didn't have 58 video points games. Of yes. articulation.
They didn't have video games.
They didn't have a
exactly.
Because I watch a lot of kids' programming because I have kids, and there are commercials on there for toys with movies. You know, based on movies.
This
and I
movie
didn't
was
see his
not
movie.
A kid's movie.
But my kid laughed. His my 8-year-old
fine,
died
but they were,
laughing.
Sure, but movie. There were a lot of there's plenty of cussing, a lot of adult situations.
Right,
this is not a
all,
kid's movie.
Let me say,
it's probably the least kid friendly of any
of
the
table does not encourage.
Sure, but this
is childhood.
Stop.
Take
listen
your 8-year-old.
This
to
is
a
the
PG-13
least
kid
friendly of any of the Marvel movies so far.
I totally
agree.
No, I totally
agree.
My kid didn't even understand the plot of Winter.
Using
soldier.
Your kid as a stand-in
my
for
kid,
every kid.
Every kid. How many children do you guys hang out
jokes,
with on a regular basis?
Okay. How many jokes were there about Star-Lord sleeping with bimbos?
Yeah.
And pelvic
a Jackson
wizardry?
Pollock painting.
That's you know, fine. I mean, you can take these jokes and that jokes. The, for example, since you guys are bringing up examples, when they're talking about the plan, when they're talking about the plan, and Rocket says, I need this thing from over there, and then Groot tends to go, you know, proceeds to go over there and get it. From the moment Groot stood up and started to go get it, my kid is giggling, laughing because he knows exactly what's coming. And
I'm
it was just like that.
I'm not saying don't take your kids to see it. It's awful.
No,
I'm
of course
saying
not.
Of all the Marvel movies that have been released so far, this one has the most adult situations. This one
okay.
has the most references to drinking, sex, and all that other
okay.
stuff.
Okay. Yeah. I can say it, but that's not what you had said earlier. You said
that's
this
exactly
is,
what I said.
Yeah,
this
he said it was
accessible.
The least.
Kid-friendly.
And I would agree.
No,
that's
guys,
what makes it the least kid-friendly.
You guys are saying kid-friendly from the basis of not having kids. Kid-friendly, when I go see Winter Soldier, kid-friendly is, Dad, this is boring as hell. Can we leave? That's kid-friendly. If the kid is going to keep his eyes pasted
okay.
to the screen
let me,
for 2 hours
fine,
and
fine.
2 minutes,
I will give
that
your
is
definition
a kid
of kid-friendly.
Well, I have kids, so I think
right,
I'm
so you think kid-friendly means will entertain your kids.
Yes.
We are saying kids safe. How about that?
Okay. I'm not sure.
Let's go with that.
I'm not sure if that's even a thing.
Yeah. I would be less likely to watch this movie in a house with kids
yeah.
than I would any of
it
the other
Marvel
movies.
It was PG-13.
It was,
even if the people
they
rating
were kind of
the
towing
system.
The line on that one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But
and it's kind of difficult for
real quick, I'm going to take a tangent here about we were talking about sex. I think it was really cool of them not to make it where Gamora didn't have sex with Star-Lord. Spoiler alert. But
that's not a bad
in my,
thing.
In my
she was her own. She had agency. She wasn't just there to be
yes.
the love interest. She kicked just as she arguably kicks more ass than anybody else in the movie.
Black more. I think she might kick more ass than Black Widow did in the last Cat movie.
Now you got to remember,
she is a shining star of a female character in the Marvel universe. Even more so, in my opinion, than Agent Carter. Or Black Widow, or any of the other female you know characters.
That's certainly Pepper debatable, Potts. But yes, it's another good, strong female portrayal.
And
Marvel
is trying to do that.
They really
they
are.
They want to get a female Marvel-centric
I read an article,
movie out. That's
four,
why we're
40%
hoping for Captain
Black Widow
40% of the people who went to see this movie were female. That's the
yes,
best
yeah.
number they've had on an action movie in 15 years.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
15
That'd
years.
Be great. Now, I would,
That's
I
amazing.
I don't know if one female... I'm just saying,
yeah.
one female character can pull a movie by herself, but if they
right.
did a group of just female characters...
I don't know if they'll ever do that.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Black
yeah.
Widow totally could.
Core,
yeah.
I don't think Gamora, because she's part of the ensemble.
Not at this point. If another movie happens, they might be able to pull something off. But because Black Widow's had two or three
Gamora
movies she's been in...
Gamora might do a prequel
right.
movie
definitely,
down the road.
Definitely.
Maybe.
That could
definitely.
Pull. But
that
could definitely
see,
pull.
Here's the thing. I would love to see a Black Widow movie, but
me too.
I think it would be very different than every Marvel movie out there.
Yeah, it would be more of a spy movie.
And it
yeah,
should be,
exactly.
but it should be, though. It
right.
should be different.
I could see it being a very Bourne Ultimatum, James Bond type
right.
movie.
It should stand its own.
That
you,
would
you,
be awesome.
You brought up Bourne Ultimatum. Guardians of the Galaxy broke the record for the biggest opening in
yep.
August. The number two... Bourne Ultimatum.
Yeah.
66
now,
million.
Now, a good movie
Guardians
for,
blew it away with 94.
A good movie for Black Widow star in, though, for a title would
right.
be Black Widow, Agent
now,
of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, well, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s done now.
Not,
so they really
just saying...
Do that.
It's coming back.
As a prequel, they could.
I'm just saying those numbers don't figure in inflation. When
of course it. Not, but we have to go by the numbers
it's
the studio gives
us. It's not huge inflation. It's not like this was a movie like 70 years ago or something.
Yeah, but... They had I'm the, just saying, there is no noticeable inflation over
there. There were a lot.
This isn't like us saying, well, Gone with the Wind would still hold the record if we account for inflation, because that's forever ago now.
But I'm just saying, they also, it's not 50%.
On Box Office Mojo, where I got this number, they also showed the amount of people in the seats. Bourne Ultimatum had a lot more people in the seats than Guardians did, and only made 66, and Guardians made 94. So, because the ticket price is higher, you got IMAX, it makes more money. Yeah. And this, they were pushing IMAX on Guardians. Huge, huge.
Did anybody see it in IMAX?
Also,
no,
I don't watch anything in IMAX.
Would anybody recommend it? Because I didn't like, I never liked
it. I would recommend it in 3D, even though I didn't see the 3D, because I would want the other experience.
I really enjoyed 3D.
In Guardians.
In Guardians. Okay. And, of course, Marvel always does a really good job.
Thor 2.
I just don't think you're missing anything if you don't see it in 3D.
I saw it in 2D.
If you enjoy the 3D experience,
me too.
See it in 3D. It's good 3D. But you're not losing anything.
Well, this is the fundamental
Thor
thing.
Thor 2,
like,
I think you would actually lost something.
Oh, I've watched Thor 2 since, and I didn't think so. But well, maybe. It's hard to get that perspective.
I like Thor 2 in 2D. Myself. Yeah,
yes,
I didn't miss anything.
I think it was awesome. You know, there's a lot of scenes that were enhanced by the 3D.
Oh, okay.
You know, the hammer scene and the fight scenes were really done well for a 3D movie.
Yeah.
There were definitely Guardians of the Galaxy is like, eh.
When I saw it in 2D, there were definitely moments that I could see where they were pushing the 3D. Like, in the first scene when he's kicking those little Rugrat aliens around, one of them looks like it should have flown right at the screen.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely, there's little things to add that, so they didn't ignore it, but they did. There were no scenes that said, oh, we're doing this just for 3D.
Well, there's several,
like, definitely
stereotypical example I always think of when they, like, they pigeonhole 3D things, like, is the Beowulf movie they made, I guess it was, like, 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, what's that? And they just, like, point conspicuously at the screen, like, a spear.
It was like
Jaws
3D.
Like,
the spear. It was like, it was bad.
300.
Yeah. No, the one where
you,
like,
you know
the rope,
like, doing,
like,
the panoramic, like, going over the landscape, there's, like, all these stupid tree branches that are going to poke your eyes out.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So, yeah, at any point where if a special effect takes me out of the movie, then it's bad.
Then it's a bad effect.
Right.
Exactly.
You know,
it's got to work for it, not just for itself.
And, you know, and Marvel is really good.
They're
just like, okay, we're recording this in 3D.
We'll just do it when we can,
And, you know, and if it happens to work that way, like him kicking the rodents or whatever.
Perfect.
You know, that was a perfect end of the movie. Where And they were panning around with it, so it just happened to work out right now. And I'm sure that wasn't an accident. But
were there any?
There were no scenes where I said, "Oh, that's only in there."
Yeah,
because for this is in 3D.
Were there any moments in the movie where you were like, "I can't believe they put that in there"? Nowhere.
Howard the Duck.
Well, of course, nowhere for me. Them actually making. Nowhere. Be the nowhere from the comic books. The hollowed out skull of a celestial being.
Oh,
they went for it. They actually went for it and did that.
They went a step further when the collector was discussing the Infinity Stones. They show a celestial.
Boom. Brilliant. I didn't think they would go there, and they did. And it was actually really cool. As a comic book geek, it was really awesome to see that.
But I'm going to say one last thing about Guardians. Close your ears for this one, Steve.
You know.
I love how they solve the dilemma with the power of dance.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a dance-off, man.
Yeah. Well, love really conquers all.
Yeah,
No, that actually wasn't the
That wasn't what he said. Love actually does conquer all.
Yeah, and I did actually, I liked that when they were showing the collector, and he was like, do not disappoint me, you know what it happened, and it showed the other.
In the, creepy as hell.
And I like, so that, okay.
Yeah.
Because you've seen this guy, and you think, okay, he's just kind of like the storage museum. No, this guy's kind of messed up. No,
not
he's,
just messed up, he is messed up.
He always was.
Yeah, I know, but
that's the first real hint you get of that is
how screwed up he is.
Well, I actually liked Ronan.
I like Ronan.
I thought he was good as a villain.
Ronan was a great villain. I thought he... It's hard for me not to compare things to the comic book. Standing
in the
alone
comics,
in this,
you're going to be screwed because now Ronan's a nice guy.
Exactly. But even back in the day when Ronan was a badass... He still was more badass in the comic than he came off in here. But as far as him just being in Guardians, he was awesome.
As far as villains in the Marvel movies, he is good.
He's
like
that.
Loki level good.
I'll give you that.
They showed him off being pretty, like, kicking the crap out of Drax.
Awesome scene.
They established him as a pretty credible
Before he got the stone.
Talking smack on Thanos once he gets the stone.
Yeah.
And as far as fan
he was
service,
a very credible
one of the missed
threat.
Opportunities they could have done.
What?
They could have cut Johan's hand off.
Oh, no. You can't cut Merle's hand off in two things?
Yes.
Are we going to kill Sean Bean and everything?
Yes, we do.
Yes. He was actually on Regis and Michael the other day, or Kelly and Michael, whatever the hell it is now, 20 different times. He's been killed on screen.
Sean Bean?
Yeah, Sean Bean.
Is it only 20?
Only! That's what I said when I saw it. I was waiting for someone to say 20.
Okay, the only movie I can think of off the top of my head where Sean Bean wasn't killed was National Treasure.
That's what I was going to say!
No, there's another movie where he plays like an agent in the UK, and he kills everybody else, and at the end of it, he's sitting on a bench, and the one person who's pulling the strings finally comes to him, and he kills her, and he just walks away.
He dies of old age in that one. Old age gets him.
Old age, I guess, gets every
I can't remember the name of the
eventually,
movie.
Eventually, we've all got that terminal illness called life.
Isn't he in the new TV show coming out called Legends?
I think that's what it is. That's what he was talking about. Yeah, he'll be dead season one. Let's talk about the future. What's the over-under for Guardians versus Turtles?
I think Guardians is
going to kill it.
What do we think's the over-under?
30 million.
Turtles look
30 million at least.
Do you think Guardians makes another 60 this weekend and Turtles makes 30?
I think Guardians will definitely... It's going to drop off more than Turtles does. Turtles is going to start off mediocre, but it's going to stay mediocre.
Let's go dollars. Let's go domestic dollars.
August is actually a good month for movies because you've got Guardians, you've got Turtles, and you're going to have the Expendables.
Exactly.
But I actually still want to go see that Hercules movie.
I do too.
The only problem with Turtles coming out this coming week, school.
Yeah.
A lot of schools are starting.
And not everywhere, but
not everywhere, but there's a lot of them are.
A lot of schools in the Northeast start next week and the week after. Right. So this week might be a good week for that kids' movie Turtles.
What I'm expecting to pick up is Lucy.
Me too. That's what I was going to say.
Guardian just trounced Lucy, but I still want to go see Lucy.
I want to go see Lucy too.
I did see Lucy, and I just would tell you right now, you'd just be better off going to see Guardians
again. Really?
Lucy starts off awesome, but like that movie Ultraviolet has so much potential, it just falls flat on its face.
Oh, that sucks.
Oh, you're kidding.
And I like Ultraviolet. I felt for what it could be.
I haven't seen it, but from what I know about Lucy, I feel like my mind would be fighting the premise the whole time.
Because it's scientific brain.
You don't use 10% of your brain. You use it all. And even if that were true, how is it 10 times better and now you're like fucking God?
Don't go see Lucy because there's points in the movie where you're just going to be like, what the hell?
I'm afraid my eyes are going to pop out of my head from rolling so hard.
No, you're just going to have blood aneurysms and blood coming out of your nose and it's just going to be awful. Because there's like this one point... In the movie where, like, the bad guys, there's like 25 Chinese bad guys across the street with automatic weapons, loading them up, and the police show up to run into the building. And it's like,
they don't even look.
Even look at these guys. There's like a whole crowd of guys.
It's like Ultraviolet when she's driving her bike on the side of the building.
As far as the 10% of the brain thing, didn't that come from like? At any given time, it's taking 10% of your brain.
That's one of those things that's been repeated so often, people think it's true.
Its genesis is found in a 1980s popular science article where someone said that and was not misquoted but misunderstood, and it just stuck.
Yeah,
we do only use 10% of our potential, I guess, at any one time. But
I would guarantee that people use 10% or less of their potential on average.
Potential, whatever. As far as the biological use of your brain, you use the whole damn thing.
Well, if I say I'm only using 10% of my hand, you would imagine dude's just moving his thumb. That's what you would imagine. That's the same comparison.
Well, in the movie,
we use all of our
Morgan
damn brain.
Morgan Freeman kind of frames it
as... Morgan Freeman kind of just frames it as,
You use 10% of your brain, but if you use the other percents of your brain, these abilities would happen. Like he was talking about,
it doesn't
dolphins.
Make any sense.
Dolphins use 20% of their brains, and they developed a natural sonar. Why did they do that?
We don't know.
That doesn't make any sense. That's the framing of the movie.
It denies all of Darwinism. All of chemicals, biochemistry. It totally ignores so much science. But that's what such good bad science fiction is supposed to do. And Lucy looks like really good bad science fiction.
But when Morgan Freeman tells it to you.
But when Morgan Freeman tells it, you believe it.
They're playing a dirty trick there because Morgan Freeman could tell me that, like, I'm an alien from Mars, and I would believe him.
Because Morgan Freeman, go get a green card.
My mother adopted me from a spaceship.
Yeah. Okay, Morgan Freeman, you can't tell no lies.
Exactly. What happened to Andy Dufresne, Morgan? What then?
What did the sisters do?
So again,
I'd like to say that Andy Dufresne fought the good fight and held him off.
Let's talk about Guardians in another context of the future. Doesn't Guardians give us more confidence in odd Marvel movies upcoming?
This is like an important way. Ant-Man. This is a proof of concept. They can throw out some obscure, oddball characters that no one's
Ant-Man
ever heard of.
Seems normal.
And if it's handled well, it'll work.
Ant-Man seems normal in comparison. Yeah. To a talking tree and a walking around raccoon.
Yeah, I mean, a dude who shrinks, that's nothing. Yeah,
and talks to ants, that seems normal.
Yep.
Okay, the talking tree, I'll give you, but the way they did Rocket Raccoon, I totally buy it.
With the cybernetics and stuff like that? Yeah. I didn't like him boo-hooing about it.
He's a little, he's like a Frankenstein's monster version of a raccoon.
I know.
When he did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, the Drax raccoon fight was probably my favorite scene.
Yeah. I like it when Groot just...
Let us put more of this liquid in our
life. That's my first thing, and then the bat shit crazy. Yeah.
No, I like the
whole, I like the breakout. The prison breakout was my fave, dude.
But I like it when Groot goes, no, Rocket's there, he's bad-mouthing Drax after the whole... Ronin incident on nowhere, and Groot goes,
and like covers his mouth.
Yeah,
I know it's because I'm doing it.
But they also do other things with Groot, like when he's on Xandar or whatever, and he sees that little girl, and he grows a little flower for her. It's so endearing. Or wherever. Nowhere. Oh, they were on nowhere. Yeah, so endearing. Just perfect characterization.
Props to Vin Diesel. He's only done two voice acting things that I've ever seen, and he was great in both of them.
The Iron Giant, right?
Yeah.
He was amazing in Iron Giant, which
gave me more than 5 words. Yeah, than Iron Giant.
A little bit more,
barely. Yeah.
But it gave me a lot of confidence for him being Groot. And he said three words throughout the whole thing. But him saying just those three main words that he says, different ways he says them. Says more than if he had just line after line after
changes
line of dialogue.
And
very well done.
R2-D2
arguably
it was responding to it. Chewbacca bellowing. And
perfect example. Right. Perfect comparison.
I've seen a lot of comparisons between Guardians and Star Wars, and Groot is definitely R2-Bahn.
It's hard to deny the space opera comparisons, man. It really is.
Honestly, even if the
Rocket seems like the Han Solo, I guess Gamora by default is our Leia.
I wasn't really worried about Vin Diesel because even if the voice acting was bad, I knew so much of that character was going to be with the CG motion capture type setup.
Yeah.
So
did they use Vin Diesel for the
No. I don't believe so.
I know they didn't use Bradley Cooper for Rocket. They used... actually, I think James Gunn used his brother for Rocket.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so... Yeah. I mean, They could have definitely did, had bad voice acting and still pulled off that character.
Well, we were just talking about Bradley Cooper. Yeah. Bradley Cooper was awesome as Rocket. If you didn't know it was him, you wouldn't have recognized him.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually kind of glad that MC Chris did not get the part.
Yeah.
Thank God. Was that ever in consideration?
Yeah, it was in consideration. It was a rumor, or at least.
He was campaigning for that.
I'm glad he lost.
Yes.
Christ, that would have been awful.
I mean, the scene where... Rocket is, they're doing the jailbreakout, and Rocket gets his gun. And they showed it in the trailer, but just seeing the whole thing when he's, I wanted to stand up and cheer, dude.
I liked it better.
It was so great.
When they're in the tower, and he like puts the leg on there and goes, I didn't need that.
The story is like, what do you mean?
It'd be funny. What do you look like?
Now it's like a thing now. Like, I saw a thing like, they show a picture of like Winter Soldier, and like, Rocket's like, I need that arm.
Yeah, I saw you post that. Brilliant film. Awesome movie. What do we want to see Marvel do now? That the leash is off the dog, man. They can do whatever the hell they want.
Not counting what we already know they're doing.
Well, we only know for sure that we're getting Age of Ultron and Ant-Man, right?
Well, we know for sure Doctor Strange.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we know Doctor Strange.
And then, of course, all the existing franchises.
And the sequels. We get a Guardian sequel. That's
Doctor Strange, as being a magic-based character...
Could be Marvel's horror movie.
I agree.
The guy they're looking, well, the guy that got to direct it is the guy who directed Sinister, I think.
Yes, Sinister.
This the more recent one with what's his name? Deliver Us from Evil or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
I worry about that because all other references to magic in the Marvel movie universe
has turned out to be technology.
Yeah,
they kind of reneged on it with the Asgardians. I really think they should have just gone ahead and said it's magic with the Asgardians. I don't really like this science angle they're taking.
You know, it didn't.
We'll see.
It didn't bother me with the Asgardians.
No, me neither.
Because they're separate. They can be a far super advanced.
I can live with it, but I just think they're creating problems.
If they are bringing magic into it now, yes, I think it might be a problem.
I don't know.
Well, Doctor Strange,
it may not be magic.
That's idiotic. That's the entire thing about Doctor Strange is that he's magic.
Yeah, he's a sorcerer.
That's his role in the Marvel universe.
Yeah. He's the sorcerer, man.
I don't know, like psychic or something?
But with gods...
What's the point of using Doctor Strange if it's not
Let's
magic?
Let Steve say that.
With gods are they can make their magic look like technology, like Mjolnir.
Yeah.
Was created for Thor out of the Euro metal by the dwarves and infused...
Is that how you say it? I thought it was Uru.
Uru, whatever.
We knew what you were talking about.
Was infused with Odin's power and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a combination of they have the tools.
But not in the movies, though. In the movies, they've said, no, this is tech.
It looks like the... I can't see how they're saying the hammer is anything but magic.
I don't know, though. Yeah. Because they said it was... Really and maybe it's weird. A little gray area.
When Odin can whisper at it.
Exactly.
And does, like,
engrave on it.
That, true. I don't see how that's technical.
Excellent point.
It engraved it as he said it.
Yeah. So maybe seeing...
Maybe it's a mix.
You can explain that away with technology, yes.
Or magic.
I can accept it.
Nanotech.
I can accept them as being a super advanced technology. But yeah, like
that
you
looks
said,
like magic to us because it's so advanced.
Because basically, if an advanced culture were to come down to the ancient Egyptians, they would be. I love how they. Worked in the old.
I have fire.
But, you know, I just if they come with a magic, then they're like, well, you know, I just used three eyes of newts and a couple of bad wings, and
I sent some magic words out of this book.
And, I keep using that same recipe, and I don't ever get it right.
The way they can make it work is if they turn the cloak in the eye into technology that allows him to
Let it be magic.
Let it be magic. But the way they've considered everything now to technology is magic. There is a way around
it. Have they explained
without
the
them throwing magic
the
in?
There's no part.
Are the gems magic or are they technology or could they be both?
All it's hard for us to explain is they're immensely powerful.
Yeah, it's impossible for us to know.
So they're powerful to the point where there's no point in distinguishing.
Exactly.
So there you go. So they could still
I'm leaning with Taylor on this. I would love for him to be magic, but I'm also with Larry on this. A lot of the stuff that the Asgardians do that they say is technology can only be magic. Like you said, whispering to the damn hammer.
Right.
So yeah, they're gonna have to clear up some stuff for that.
The floating.
That's my big worry about Doctor Strange.
That's an actually very relevant.
I think they've been doing good so far.
Oh no,
they got the benefit of the doubt until.
Oh, me too. I'm really confident.
If they pull off this well, if they pull off Doc Strange well, then I'll say there's no character.
Yeah.
They don't have the ability.
Yeah.
To pull
other characters of like
well,
was
it Mark Spector mentioned in the universe, in the cinematic universe?
I don't think he
was. He one of the names that was given in Cap 2.
Doc Strange was. I don't remember.
Wasn't Mark Spector?
Stephen Strange was mentioned in Cap 2.
Could they bring a Moon Knight in? Moon Knight makes sense now.
Moon Knight, sure. I'm in no rush to see Moon
Knight. Oh, me neither. He's got moon-shaped
batarangs.
The ones
I hear are more likely to get fast-track Black Panther.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah,
Inhumans, apparently,
are definitely doable. Captain Marvel, easily done.
Well, Inhumans could just step in and be the Marvel universe. Since they can't use the X-Men, they could just be their version of mutants or whatever.
Well, if they're already bringing in Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, though, then they would have to consider them Inhumans. And I'm not sure if they're doing that in Age of Ultron.
I have no idea.
Yeah, me neither.
And didn't Age of the Shield, they call them special people or something.
They did, but they can always go back on that and say, oh no, we were special people called Inhumans.
Or 814 or something.
Yeah.
There's so many... I would like to see... There's there was an article on one of the comic book things about which movies or which other
you'd like to
people
see.
Would see. And I like the idea of maybe Alpha Flight.
Oh, a Canadian?
Canadian
another super team.
Team?
It works. I mean, it's like, oh, Americans got the Avengers. We need our own team.
Exactly.
That works.
Or even bring in Sunfire from China.
Japan or China, yeah.
Didn't they
whatever.
Already do that
Japan.
With them?
Wait, he's an X-Man.
Yeah, didn't they already
he's
introduce
him?
Oh, was he in?
Yeah, they wouldn't be able
yeah,
to.
I haven't seen the latest one, so.
All different X-Men.
Okay,
yeah, well.
He got cut in half, I think, by
well,
the
I
end
mean, they can bring in so many
don't worry, that,
that it's
happen.
Unreal.
They
but
reneged
who,
on that. It's retcon.
For bringing in the oddballs, Alpha Flight is one of the oddballs.
Yeah. I would like to see a Runaways movie.
A Runaways that was one
of
the
one
biggest.
They're considering.
They're, very much
that
so.
Would really
Runaways
work for me.
Is
that would
one
really
of the biggest
work for
ones
me.
They're talking about.
Especially now with all the Jurassic Park technologies, you know,
right.
Anybody can do that.
Right.
I want to see, you know, was it Lace? What's her name?
Yeah, Old Lace.
Okay.
Yep.
Do we need more villains for, isn't that Runaways? Don't you?
They were, but you don't necessarily
are not villains.
They're children.
Yeah,
villains.
But
children.
That's what I'm saying. Do we need to introduce their parents?
Not in a big way. They don't have to be like, I think,
well,
huge prominent.
Is that a, not a good way to introduce some villains?
Well, no.
Say, here's the villains'
but
kids
the
who
Runaways
hate their guts.
Are. The Runaways came together to thwart
their
parents.
The
pride. So.
Wasn't that the villains, the pride?
Well, yeah. Speaking of villains, though, they do have a little bit of a problem with, like, a lot of... Like, they can't use Doctor Doom, who is probably, like, the top of your wish list for, like, big overarching villains.
Yeah.
I
want to see the Red Skull come back.
They probably can't use Galactus. I think he's...
No, I don't think they can. I don't think they can.
I don't know.
But those are definitely singular Fantastic Four characters. It's hard to argue that they aren't.
Doctor Doom has fought everyone in the
true,
Marvel.
True, but he was definitely with you.
Oh,
asked,
obviously, yes.
Yeah,
he's the Fantastic
okay.
Four's arch nemesis,
yeah.
But he's such a big
he
villain.
Is, you're right.
He can stand in for it.
You're right.
I mean, because he's his own country. Yeah, he owns his
really,
own country.
Exactly.
So,
wouldn't they rather have, if they could do Galactus, wouldn't they rather have Galactus versus Thanos? You know, as far
that
as
would
the
be fun.
Infinity.
Right. Like, for
and
example,
actually,
no, because
Galactus. Not that
Galactus just
had.
Runs around eating planets. He's,
yeah.
He's like a primordial force of nature. He doesn't have schemes. He doesn't go collecting power.
He's
gems.
He sings, I'm hungry, I'm eating a planet.
Well,
Unicron.
He is what he is.
Baron Zemo.
Baron Zemo. That would be a good addition.
Galactus is arguably not really a villain. He's no more a villain than, say, a Hurricane.
Exactly. Excellent comparison.
Galactus happens.
Yeah. Yeah,
he doesn't
that'd
plot.
Be an awesome
Galactus
shirt.
Happens.
That should be a shirt. Galactus that
be,
happens.
That should be a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Well, they also have AIM they can use.
Oh, well, AIM's already been
right,
used.
Right, but I mean,
AIM's in there.
Yeah.
You got them in Iron Man 3.
Roxanne Corporation.
Roxxon is in there.
Roxanne.
They've been mentioned.
Roxanne.
You know, there's all kinds of villains they can use.
What
they still have
the song were you?
They
Roxxon version.
They still have the Mandarin.
Put on your oil.
They still have the Mandarin. Roxxon's the oil company in the Marvel Universe.
Roxxon's evil Exxon.
Big time.
From
more evil Exxon.
Roxxon's like straight up supervillain.
Well, besides Hydra.
Well,
Hydra's in there.
Taylor mentioned that Black Panther would be a great movie.
Yeah,
who do you have go up against Black Panther? Who's the quintessential Black Panther villain?
Claw, I guess, but he doesn't really have it.
I know.
Black Panther doesn't have good villains.
Yeah, Namor. Really. Namor is the best Black Panther villain.
Actually, you're right.
Namor.
Well, the thing about Black Panther, though, is not that he can't carry a book, but he doesn't carry a book very long.
Who, Namor?
No,
Black Panther. He should
he's
always
great.
Have a book.
He's got a point.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
Black Panther has the same problem that Doc Strange has. He's a huge part of the Marvel Universe, but he doesn't carry his own book.
It's hard to write for him.
But here's the other thing. Okay, with Black Panther, you're going to get better appeal with a movie.
Oh, I agree.
Because he is a very famous African-American hero.
Agree, totally agree.
The first
agree.
African-American.
The thing about
so,
it is
actually not American.
You're
going
to get... to say they couldn't do it without... I mean, it would be stupid for them not to do it without trying to appeal to that audience, especially because the comic book movie is...
Are you saying they're
going to
give us
the
Tyler Perry?
Would they have
Panther?
To change the name?
They
may. I don't think that would work.
I could see it.
But
Black Panther is serious.
Do it.
He is a serious character.
Well, not...
I agree. I
Black Panther goes up in Dragon.
Black Panther is
Tyler
Perry,
but maybe Spike Lee.
He's my vibranium.
He could definitely do a good action movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that... Like Tyler
Black
Perry
is a what? A famous hero?
Famous
African
American hero.
Most black guys do not like Black Panther.
Why not, though?
They don't.
Why not,
take
though?
Take the black off his name.
And just call him Panther.
Panther?
T'Challa.
Like that. Yeah.
I agree with that.
I could agree with that.
It's just like Mark said one time. Okay, Falcon is the first hero we ever had that didn't have black
in his name.
That's true. Yeah. A lot of them are like Black Lightning.
Black Goliath.
Right. Yep.
But did they call him Black
Goliath? That's why I'm a little disappointed.
Black Goliath. That's so stupid.
Do you think they're making Falcon Captain America? Do you think they're going to do that in the movie, too?
I see it as a possibility, but I'm not sure. It won't happen until way after Avengers. I want to see how they deal with Cap and Falcon in Avengers 2, in Age of Ultron.
What's going on?
Before Cap 3.
Here's what will determine, I think, more if they're going to put it in the movie or not, is how well the comic is going to do.
I don't know if that has any bearing on it.
I believe
if they get a good script, I think they'll go for it.
I think that they're pretty... We keep talking about them killing Cap.
Yeah. No, that's not going to happen.
Exactly. No.
That's not exactly a foregone conclusion. There isn't going to be a new Captain America for all we know.
Well, let's look at it this way. Right now, with S.H.I.E.L.D. being demolished, there technically isn't a Captain America sanctioned by the government like there always has been since Cap's been around.
No.
When Cap was first around in the first Avenger, he was sanctioned.
Right.
When he first came back in Avengers, and even at the beginning of Cap 2, he was sanctioned. Now, he's not. He could be the Nomad. He could, and then they could say, okay, we need somebody else sanctioned by the government to be a Captain.
That's a lot to try and do in a movie.
Well, they did a lot.
Iron Man 3 with the Iron Patriot.
Boom, and they did a lot of work in Cap 2.
Sure,
that
that's
definitely
Iron Patriot was the side character, not the main character.
And plus, they changed the name from War Machine to Iron Patriot because of War Machine.
Political correctness. But isn't that
Iron Patriot was a damn supervillain in the comics.
Yes,
that bugs
exactly.
Me.
Yeah. But isn't that why Nomad eventually became Nomad in the comics? Because of the political correctness and then not wanting to invade and his problems with America.
The same
and,
thing.
It might have been just after the Shadow Empire.
Same thing when he became just the captain.
I can't remember specifically.
Same
It might have just been like right after he found out, and this is true, that Richard Nixon was a secret supervillain running a secret underground cabal.
That's your bread and butter, Taylor.
And
that happened.
That was the first time the comics allowed them to talk smack on the president.
They backed off on it later. They said it was like his chief of staff instead of it actually being Nixon, and they never showed his face. Originally, they had every intention of showing his face, but then Jim Shooter was like, that's asking for more trouble.
It breaks the comic code. It broke the comic code.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, they can do it. Will they? I just don't know. I wouldn't mind.
They could do no wrong in my book.
I don't want to see them
try
to force it just for the
sake
of doing it.
I don't think they have. I mean, do you think they forced anything in any of the movies?
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying I don't want to see them start now.
Yeah, I don't want to see them change. You know what they know is working.
If that's not the movie you want to make, don't make it.
James Gunn. I don't know if it was James Gunn was asked or if Kevin Feige, whatever his name, Kevin F, was asked about what James... I think it was James Gunn was asked, what would you like to do next? And he said he'd like to do a Thunderbolts movie.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. That's what I wanted to ask. Now, what are our thoughts on a T-Bolts movie?
That'd be cool.
It depends on which characters they have.
I want the classic T-Bolts and I want Zemo.
So if it's classic T-Bolts, I'll take it in a heartbeat.
Zemo works.
I don't know. They'd have to change his backstory a lot.
Oh, yeah, they have to change it to like a new age Red Skull. Like a modern day Red Skull, almost.
Red Skull.
Yeah, like the Fanatic, you know, got some troops, I'm Fanatic, I want this and that.
Well, sure, but why is Red Skull in this all of a sudden?
Because Red Skull is the only other character from the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, who is that sort of fanatical, you know.
Okay.
Now, let me ask you this question. Are we going to go with them?
But you definitely have to have Songbird, you definitely have to have
but will they be
Robot
the,
Suit Guy, whatever.
Will they be the ones that are pretending to be heroes?
Yes. Those are the
that
ones
that should be
you
what
want.
They're wrong with. And then you have like the split as you get in Songbird and them actually
the Fixer.
Yes, yeah. I think there were elements of that in Guardians where they were kind of not good guys per se at the beginning, but then kind of moved into being the good guys. I think just a little bit more of a push by Gunn, and you have a Thunderbolts movie.
Why
do we want a Thunderbolts movie? That's if they're just going to retread Guardians.
I don't want them to retread Guardians, but I think there are things places they didn't go in Guardians that they could go for a Thunderbolts movie, especially one that's on Earth.
But the Thunderbolts to the average totally movie-going audience, perhaps, is the sell now, hey, you liked Guardians, here's Earth Guardians.
Perhaps.
No, but there's a whole...
There's always a risk of that.
Thunderbolts is a totally different... character
we
group.
Know that.
Yeah.
But does the average movie go?
Exactly.
It would be easy to explain it quick because you have a real quick backstory on each character.
Yeah.
And I mean, real quick,
I'm
maybe 10
sure.
minutes.
Yeah, I'm not sure of exactly how they would do it, but I'm pretty sure that they could.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You could do a maybe a 10-minute backstory on each character where they, you know, are... what is the main character? Citizen V.
Okay, yeah.
Gets them... explains what's going on. They change character.
Sanction cap.
Boom.
Yeah, the government side want a Suicide Squad almost.
Yeah.
Well, that is sort of the way Thunderbolts and Suicide Squad are kind of mirrors.
Yes, very, very much so. Very much so. And I love talking about Guardians.
Well, but not the first issues of Thunderbolts. They're not totally different.
Well, you have no idea that they're kind of bad guys.
Oh, no.
You think that they're a good team, and then later on, it's like, no, we're kind of evil.
That's what I'm saying. I would like the first run, not the current run.
Yes, the current run with Red Hulk and Punisher and Electro.
Well, even before that.
Didn't like it.
Right, so.
Larry's wanting to rap. You want to rap, Larry? Final thoughts?
I was about to say, any final thoughts?
I have some final thoughts.
Oh, I got a final thought. I am enjoying Rooster Teeth's Ruby. The first two episodes are great.
Of what?
Ruby.
Rooster Teeth. The Rooster people who made Red versus Blue.
Oh, okay. I like Red versus Blue.
They're doing like original shit now.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Neat.
Red versus Blue is original, but they're doing non-Red versus Blue affiliated.
This is basically an American anime that's using motion capture and computer generated.
Nice.
And the first season, it's all right. There's a couple issues with it. I had with it. You had silhouette people in the back as background characters, and most of the episodes were like 7 minutes long.
What's the plot?
Is there one?
Yeah.
Okay. Red versus Blue didn't quite have.
Red versus Blue, you have
some a little bit.
Later seasons, just like jokes about Halo multiplayer, but then
it was just guys hanging out.
It evolved into this super elaborate.
It really
like real answers.
It really did.
There's a world where monsters exist, and certain people become hunters of these monsters, and this is basically the next generation of monster hunters being trained.
Okay,
The second season, the first two episodes have been phenomenal. I'm loving it. If you want to watch just the first episode, it's probably the best food fight since Animal House.
Animal House. Oh, wow.
There's only one other food fight I know.
All right, but you're...
I was going to talk about a comic, How Toons, but I'm going to talk about a show I'm starting to watch on Netflix through the first season called The Killing.
Ooh.
Started in 2011. It's got the dude who played RoboCop. I cannot remember his damn
Peter
name.
Weller?
No.
No,
the new RoboCop.
Oh.
It's a great, great series. It basically follows a murder from the very moment the murder happens, and I'm still just in the first season, and we're only in the fourth day of the show, of the actual 4 days after the murder, the whole first season. It gets into details about each and every character, and you just feel for every single character. It's got the actress who played Ensign Rowe in it. Really good. If you got Netflix, at least check out the first two or three episodes. You will not be able to stop.
My parents love that show.
Awesome show. It's in like four seasons now. Great show.
And you said it's called The Killing?
The Killing on Netflix. I think it was actually one of their very first original programming.
It was like AMC after Walking Dead.
Right. Perhaps. I don't recall.
Yes, it was.
But great show. I missed it the first time around catching up on...
You just mentioned...
Go ahead.
You mentioned Netflix. We got our first photos of Matt Murdock from the upcoming Daredevil show. I mean, it's a guy in a business suit with glasses.
It's red round. It looks just like Daredevil should.
I think it is kind of cool. They got, like, scars around his eyes for this one.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense. He got blinded by, like, toxic waste being blasted into his eyes. So, of course, there's scarring. But,
So it definitely didn't bring me down about it.
Not as big a deal as when they're going to show the Daredevil costume, but hey, cool. Work in progress.
Well, he is a lawyer.
Yeah, he's a lawyer. He's got his little tic-tac cane or whatever and his glasses. Everything looked great. Is that what they call it? That's a technical medical term for it.
It is
tic-tac
not.
Cane?
No, it's stupid and probably offensive. But
tic-tac cane is offensive? Man, I can't say anything. I can't say anything anymore.
I think they just called it cane.
Oh, okay. He's got that cane.
Maybe a walking cane? Better than tic-tac cane.
Tic-tac cane. Tic-tic. You know what I mean.
I know what you mean, but it's stupid.
Steve, you have a final thought? Yeah. Let's get us off of here before I get in trouble.
I'd like to invite some new blood to come to this table of ours and help us out. Because it's always fun to get somebody new to just drop in.
It is.
Anything to keep Gomer from talking.
Sometimes that's what we need.
I had planned all day just to sing songs from the Guardians soundtrack. That's what I was doing.
Spirit of the God.
Hooked on a feeling.
I want you back. I want you back.
Spirit of the sky.
If you like pina
coladas. Yeah, man. I could go all day.
Man, that song just.
It's a terrible song. It's a dude cheating on an old lady. It's a terrible song.
Right. My whole problem with that song is because there's two people cheating on each other.
With each other.
They find out. Oh! You were sleeping around too? Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, they're laughing about it.
Oh, good for them that they could
laugh. Dude, the 70s were a much cooler time.
Oh, yeah.
You could get away with anything.
Studio
in the
54.
They're reading one ads. Okay, do they even have those personal ads? They even have those anymore?
Yeah, it's on Craigslist.
Man, get with the times. It's Tinder now.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Larry, do you have a final thought? Did you go see any movies this week?
No, actually, I did not.
I had free tickets to Let's Be Cops, and my old lady was so tired she didn't want to go last night.
You know, I too had free
go
tickets.
Go Fobo!
To Let's Be
they
Cops.
Couldn't have given those away.
And I ended up distracted by my old lady as well.
I don't think that movie
probably not the same way. My lady was sleeping next to me.
We have got to end this now. Okay.
Yeah, talked about Barbie not being kid friendly.
No, that's not all I was going to say. But yeah.
Awesome. Okay, well, I'll catch you. Pick up Howtoons number 1 in shops today.
Howtoons number 1, Bunker.
Strangers in Paradise Kids.
Oh, a lot of youth books out today that are really worth it.
Yeah, I picked Bunker's First Trades coming out. Yep. New Woods come out today. Yep. Those are two I like.
Taylor, another new Avengers just after the events of the
last
new Avengers.
Yeah, it was last week. Yeah, now we already got the next one.
So Spider-Man 32 and 32 came out.
Yep, Edge of the Spider-Verse, every Spider-Man ever starting to gel in New York City and meet up with everyone
what
else.
What is up with this Spider-Girl?
Silk. I'm not reading Spider-Man, unfortunately.
Is it animal magnetism between Spider-Man and Silk?
I don't know, but they met like 4 hours ago and they're already
working
on top of a building.
Nice. Go Peter! Go Peter! He's like, man, I've been dead for a year and a half.
But is it,
I gotta get him some.
But is it chemistry between them or is it chemistry because they're the only two compatible?
I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
The second one.
Dan Slott loves writing that sort of thing.
Oh, no. So we're going to have a spider kid running around?
We've already had a few.
Oh, that might be where they're leading with this. If they do that, it's going to be one of those things like 4 years from now. They're going to be like, hey, remember that time Peter banged that spider chick?
Exactly. Well.
Yeah.
And it'll be
look
super,
what happened.
It'll be super
Nova Age Spider-Man.
In my mind, the canon future of the Marvel Universe has May Parker.
Yes.
Just cause.
I like May
and
too.
On
I
the
like
subject
too.
Of Spider
Mayday
Kids,
Parker,
we are going to hit stop
I like
on
May
the
too.
Record yeah. button. Join us next week for another fabulous episode of Geeks of the Square Table.
Fabulous episode.
And as always, you can find us on iTunes, ComicCity2.com, OutrightGeekery.com,
check
and on Facebook.
Good night, Elaine.
Oh, he's not even here, you jerk.
Later.
Do it.
Oh.